And issues, investigative reports, previews and reviews of the arts and entertainment and dining listings. The Valley Advocate is on newsstands every Thursday. WMUA thanks the Valley Advocate for their kind support.
There'll be a jazz and Arabic music benefit concert to support the Palestinian House of Friendship in Nablus on Friday, June 29th at 7:30 p.m. at the First Churches of Northampton. The concert will feature jazz vocalist Jessica Freeman and friends and Lalali Arabic Music Ensemble and other surprise guests. The Palestinian House of Friendship is a non-profit organization established in 1994 whose goal is to encourage in young people an ethics based on democracy, human rights, and love for the other. The concert takes place June 29th, 7:30 p.m., First Churches, Northampton, across from Thorne's Marketplace.
Amherst Community Market's second community interest meeting will take place on Thursday, July 19th from 7 to 9 p.m. in the town room at Amherst Town Hall. Amherst Community Market is a startup food co-op whose mission is to increase Amherst's access to wholesome foods. The purpose of the meeting is to update the community on the progress made since the first meeting and to outline the next steps to getting a food co-op in Amherst. More information is available at facebook.com/Amherst Community Market. On Saturday, July 21st, Two Ladies and a Gentleman Productions is presenting the Onset Beach Jazz Festival. The festival is featuring performances by Walter Beasley, Mike Lynn Roderick, the Jazz Thugs, the Joaquim Santos Band featuring Aaron Cole, and the Kozu Koriyama Jazz Quartet. The festival is being held from 1 to 7 p.m. at the Lillian Gregerman Bandshell in Onset, Massachusetts, and is free and open to the public. For more information, please visit www.onsetbeachjazzfestival.org.
Yes, yes, what's going on, y'all? Brother Chris Cool now with you. You're tuning to WMUA. 91.1 on your FM dial, streaming live, WMUA.org. Trigger Radio every Friday, 6 to 8. What's going on, y'all? Hope you keeping cool out there. It's crazy hot in the Pioneer Valley. Hope you're near a pool or a lake or a watering hole of some sort, or got something cold in your hands at least. Anyway, I'm in a great mood. I played basketball today. That's always very religious for Chris Tinson. You should know. Just letting you know. Anyway, hope you're doing well. And also, I'm still high from the Sneakers for Success launch event last night in New York City. And maybe throughout the show, I'll tell you more about that and what's going on. And just how proud Rec and I are of the young brothers and sisters who are part of the Sneakers for Success endeavor. And their wonderful event last night to launch their campaign. So lots going on. And this is UMass fam, too. So we got to give props to that. So shout out to Sam, Josh, Jose, Harmony, Chris Wise, the rest of the crew. So many to name. And I'll get everybody's name in throughout this 2 hours. But you tune in to Trigger Radio, your space for social justice and hip-hop culture and everything in between. And today we're going to turn our attention to healthcare and look specifically at something we haven't really dealt with on Trigger Radio just yet, and that is the HIV and AIDS crisis, particularly as it pertains to communities of color. So we're going to be joined in just a bit by an expert who's been working in the field for a few decades now and get some insights on prevention and the new latest interventions that's going on, and also just to talk about and give some context around the alarming statistics that we read when it comes to the rates of infection in certain communities. So we'll get into that a little bit later in the show. Got some beats cooked up for you. The number here is 413-545-3691. Brother Chris Cool and I with you from 6 to 8 is Trigger Radio. Let's get it going. We'll be right back.
peace. This is Brother Africa Bambaataa of the Almighty Universal Zulu Nation, and we listen to Trigger Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are seven acknowledged wonders of the world. You.
We're on a head trip. I don't know where the trip will end up. It depends on you.
Here's a little story that must be told.
Let me tell you something.
But in order to lay the foundation for this, we've got to examine
the self.
What are we made of?
The self never does anybody any good if they're trying to make it do them good. Only when they're not concerned with whether it does them any good or not does it do them any good. It's like when you relax and you go out and play. Americans in particular.
There is nothing you can do to be liberated, because all your efforts in the direction of liberation are phony. They are based on your desire to boost and continue your ego, and that will never lead to liberation. All you can do, he says, is to be aware of yourself as you are, without judgment. Be what is. But then, if you can do that, you have no further problem. But if you try to do it, you're in the same mess all over again.
Hey, yo, it's Talib Kweli. Right now, we rocking on Trigger Radio. We're live.
Yeah. My life's like a movie, man. This just another Friday night. Dig. Watch me work this. It's that boy. That's one. Pop. It's cool in the ice blue linen. Dude brought some dimes through with him in the five coupe spinning. They loving how a G through him. Can't see me, I'm full time grinding. I squeeze you in. Through high when I'm through your side. From the A to the D to NY with a Louis fly. Who am I? I'm the super fly. Dex the name. What I spit, hit the bricks and get sex to bang. I'm a king, so I'm set to reign. Sex names with the best in game. Guess frames in my necklace hang. Blue shoe on the kick, they blue colored with the 22 shoes on the six. My boobs love it. Sad boy, that boy did it for flow. Barry Bonds with the flow, cause the lyrics are slow. What you about now? Let me see you if you here. I know you hungry, cause I ain't feed you in the year. So toast it to tip your glass. I'm like hard liquor. Be easy, I'll kick your ass. And while I'm at it, I just hit your stash. Quick, fast, and me and S1 gon' split the cash. Yeah,
I'm young general. Big bouncer in a yard, not Trump with rude boy. Them say I'm a cuz. Never look a bad man, pon him mind. I'm some boy, and I'm watching the superfly. Never look a bad man, pon him mind. I'm some boy, and I'm watching the superfly. Never look a bad man, pon him mind. I'm some boy, and I'm watching the superfly.
Scared of none of ya. Some of ya shot flares when you see me chop flares in front of them. God cares. Stop staring in front. And I hate cause you wanna be. You hate cause I stare at some of ya. Some of ya. Sun and some of ya. Appears I got tons of ya. Cheers to every one of ya that spent your last 7 years gunning them down. Bridgetown sound hunting them. I'm just wondering what's gonna humble them. Money or the honey's humping them. Ladies loving them. Bottle guzzling them. Models loving them. Mom told me phonies, but they only want plums from them. And my mom solemnly swear to share the knowledge so the guys got trusted. Fat in my pockets by putting bucks in them. Without hustling, true smuggling. Blue stuffed it in, covering. Going in deep, throw the rubber on the beat stick. Baby, gotta put the boots to sleep. Push the product to the street. Been a model since the scene. How this game operates. Stop and wait for the green, which means go. Pristine, my sleep's clean, slow, clean. No radio edits from the deck. What I get S and S one. So expect the best to check. Get checked like a friendly game of checkers. Help me. Blah, 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 yeah. Something about I'm dope and dope. Nobody do it better.
Never look up at my body mind. I'm sound boy and I'm on the super fly. Never look up at my body mind. I'm sound boy and I'm on the super fly. Never look up at my body mind, yeah. Batman, I'm super fly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whoa, whoa.
Sonny Patterson, and you are listening to Trigger Radio.
Hey, 6 in the morning, wake up. Got a car, who that? Professor Ride. Got dressed, got a mob. No sweat, Royal Mill cappuccino in my palm. Last drop of last night's three routers, no college degrees, who finna talk to a class full of undergrads? It's kinda odd, but even when I'm off, I'm holding down a mantle, hung over in a panel, Q&A still sharp. Hit the high school building with Mox and K-Love. Lunchtime rapping with Greed, we play songs in the parking lot, meeting with kids who stay blaring at Oofy D. Outside of Farrington High, mahalo y'all, do it all from the ivory towers to the juvenile halls on the H2, eastbound, Chinatown, rock on. Gotta keep the camera cocked. See blocks that resemble the shots my pops took in the spot they call barrios. We call hoods, understood when I stand with them and the kids in a youth speak. State shot, workshop, we did then slid to Pearl Ridge to spread information like June and them did it. Soon we hit fit in Hawaii and then ended up back in my tie for that national treasure. Go ask Manila one time
for the H.I., 2 for the P.I., 3 for the dub and 4 for Khalifa. Anywhere the Browns roll deep, I feel like I never leave home when I see y'all. Mahalo, 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 mahalo.
Let me pick up where you left off, G, it's like 10:23 up at Mai Tai, ducking home, girl, in my seat with my fitted hat low. Yeah, I know the homie bass, slid it over down the picture where we go. Back to the hotel with that bottom shelf smell, just to even out the night, another Jamie and the ale. Couple hours and we back, hit up George, hit up Jack. See knowledge at the airport to grab my man Fat. Guess we ready for the show, to get ready for the show. June Joe took us out to North Shore before the show. Now we sunbake Salt Lake, Pearl Ridge dipping. Mainland appreciate this H.I. living in the H.I. Kicking it with H.I. women, talk about the issues here in the H.I. with them. Tourists come tricking and howlies don't get them. They just come to see a hula dance and try no rhythm. Bones unhidden underneath new buildings. I ain't from here, but still it's personal how I'm feeling. K.L.O. and Jonah, Chris G, Big Jai, Chris Styles, James, Ryan, Keith. What up, Professor Rye? What up, Miles and Ella, Christine and Tano, Creed and Tasho, DJ Paco and Taco, Farrington, the Isle of Moana. We showing love. Mama San, sorry about Manila, throwing up, rolling up. Fresh Cafe with an unfresh fade. At the sound check, find a barbershop around the way. Fail, super cut, super suck. Geo Jack fade. Bad day at the spa now. Payback paid. Straight back to the people who came out for the cause. Now I'm rocking last song with my t-shirt off. All work from the shows to the panel. And I can't believe Manila be fat in a battle.
Yeah. Nah, for real, but dog, check it out. See, the difference is, their soldiers fight for the dollar. Our soldiers fight for the honor. Their soldiers fight for Obama. Our soldiers fight for Ohana. See, I'm a brown skin, flip face with a Hawaiian's core. And like them, the Filipinos are worth dying for. This is for Ninoy Aquino and every Pinoy that we know. Bruh, I know I'm not from the motherland, but on the other hand, I'm from my brother's motherland. Another land full of natives who was overruled, so each other we understand. So if the cops try for takeoff, ish, the blades are flip, making slits. Caught in the pig's stomach, watch us make a lit. It tastes like victory, like history, the book. We cook your captain, Captain Cook. Swinging bare arms, my left arm bears a manook. Cause it's fight or flight, watch or march. Fuck a what, what's up, I'm launching uppercuts. See if you run, that's all you, man. But if you look what's inside, you can do all you can, and you'll touch the sky. It's another day in entertainment. Let me just say this. The word tame, in its most basic, is a reflection. It's meant for you to enter it and accept it. And if you don't get it, you go and get it. And that's it.
Trigger Radio, Trigger Radio.
Said the president that he's got his war. Folks don't know just what it's for. No one gives us rhyme or reason. You have one doubt, they call it treason. Treason, they call it treason. If you have one doubt, they call it treason. Treason, treason, treason.
I'm out marching and marched to protest the war. The contingent was deep like 100 or more. It was sorta like Sicily when rushed by the Moors, or kinda like Biggie when he kicked in the door. We was all amped, all chants rang from a speaker, rang from a megaphone. That was the scene, and then it happened quick. Pooters in the front, dusty foot, and start tearing shit up like kicking trash cans down, running their mouths, and the cops just itching to shut this down. Rubber bullets start flying and the crowd get down.
Everybody brown, move to the left and gather round.
But it was too late, tear gas shot in and in. Couple rubber bullets start hitting me and my man in the chin and the shin. And then it was like 10 police and riot gear start bashing their way in.
Damn, here we go again, as another rubber bullet bounced off my skin. Do I stand there and watch, do I blow with the wind, or do I stand up and practice my right to defend?
Whoa.
But our contingent had elders and kids panicking cause of what a couple idiots did. The smoke from the tear gas making us sick. No time to fuck around, we had to think quick, big, organized. We had security on hand, red t-shirts with burgundy armbands. Times like this, they were most prepared. The priority was
get us all the f*** out of here.
Over there with the blue Bayon flags were at. Ain't worth it to go back and get caught in the trap. There's a time to hang around and a time to leave. You gotta stick to the plan, gotta be strategic. Either way,
you act up, you guilty of. You had enough, you guilty of. You give a f, you guilty of. Come again.
Treason.
You act up, you guilty of.
Treason.
You had enough, you guilty of.
Treason.
You give a f, you guilty of.
Treason.
Case closed.
Okay, on to the next topic. We were speaking on a panel at some hip-hop conference. Funny, we ain't never gone to college. Couple high school dropouts dropping some knowledge. Academics really grilling us good. Curious cause they never ever been to the hood. Then I seen a hand raised from way in the back. White dude like, yes, I got a question to ask. Then he went into his thing about that and this. And 10 minutes later,
still ain't even asked his question.
And then all you heard was a couple of sounds. Couple cats running around like,
sit the f*** down.
Oh my God. People started getting stirred. Me and Bam was like,
whoosh,
up out of our turn.
Yo, TV, let's go.
But something about it just didn't seem right. Almost like these three dudes were just picking a fight.
And it's like, I done seen this before. Kids on the auditorium floor, rushing the door.
Oh yeah,
it's like the end of Malcolm X. Except before the shit popped off, we slid off stage left and then
pew!
Back to the telly. Steady talking loud by what went down, breathing heavy. Eventually brushed it off on the conversations about who's better, Jay and all. And just as DJ Patrick tried to throw his 2 cents in,
get the f*** down.
Better rallies that sketched in, kicked in the door, waving the rest once. Couple kids got hurt and they blaming us for it. I ain't say sh, I just let them cuff me up. And then I smile when they try their best to rough me up. And get this, just as we were thrown in the van, Fed agent Caucasian from the conference. Aww.
Close 21. Welcome to prison, boys!
Ah, cool, man. Handcuffs are tight, boy.
Yo, what up? This is Big M1, one half of Dad Prez. Now, I mean, on the verge of the information age, DadPrez.com in your area. I just want to let y'all know, keep your eyes open, head up, fist clenched, and stay tuned to Trigger Radio. This way you're going to be for the front line of our revolution. See you. Huey! P. Newton, keep shooting. Rah!
A true warrior heart, don't pump no fear. If you study the arts, then you know what it is. It's the way that we walk, it's the way that we live. We come and go in peace, but we stay ready to kill. A true warrior heart, don't pump no fear. If you study the arts, then you know what it is. It's the way that we walk, it's the way that we live. We come and go in peace, but we stay ready to kill. I never start beef, my mind is at peace. But I can bring it to them just when they thinking it's sweet. Beat them down with my bare hands and put them to sleep. Killer instinct, attack like a pit on. I don't bully nobody, I don't prey on the weak. I don't act bad and talk trash out in the streets. Bad boys move quiet, I don't wanna be seen. But if I have to get violent, I'ma do it from train. Go for the juggle of fame, cut off the head of the brain. Killer be killed, tell they succumb to the pain. It's just a paper target, and I'm the gun at the range. Hit the pressure points like a hunter killing this game. I'm just a humble man, they don't want none of this, man. Get whooped like a martial art tournament, man. Blood leaking, now we gonna need a tourniquet, man. See some wounds heal up or some permanent, man. A true warrior heart, don't pump no fear. fear. If you study the arts, then you know what it is. It's the way that we walk, it's the way that we live. We come and go in peace, but we stay ready to kill. A true warrior heart, don't pump no fear. If you study the arts, then you know what it is. It's the way that we walk, it's the way that we live. We come and go in peace, but we stay ready to kill. This is warrior
concentration, mind stay focused. Sitting palms open, position of the lotus. Meditation, let the energy just flow. Breathing techniques when the energy low. Mental exercise, help the guard stay strong. How to fight without fighting, strike without raising the palm. Shalom for my shalom, the peace for the wars. Plus the warrior's heart, always calm before the storm. Eye of the tiger, the vision on point. Six senses so sharp, I can see him in the dark. Can hear when they're creeping, can feel when they're near. I can tell with your heart that I was trained to smell fear. Strict code of conduct, respect for my enemies. Exercise mentally, physically, spiritually. No guns needed, got a panther's agility. And I don't need drugs to enhance my ability.
A true warrior heart, don't pump no fear. If you study the arts, then you know what it is. It's the way that we walk, it's the way that we live. We come and go in peace, but we stay ready to kill. A true warrior heart, don't pump no fear. If you study the arts, then you know what it is. It's the way that we walk, it's the way that we live. We come and go in peace, but we stay ready to kill. This is warrior codes. Warrior codes. Warrior codes.
No fear.
Nubians, and you're listening to
Trigger Radio.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Trigger Radio. Trigger Radio.
As an artist painting on his canvas, watch him illustrate his interpretation of cancer. Not a prescription of sickness. Bacteria covered in facts, evidence leaving the track. It's mind-boggling, full throttle, responsible chaps. Lost in a hedonistic sense, pain, pleasure too intense to isolate the difference. Convinced it's nothing but hellfire. A saying waiting for us here. We deal with the suspense, cause every action has an equal attribute and energy disperses. Negatives come with a curse when neighborhood crimes accelerate and egotistical thoughts is common place. Come around your face to step across your manhood, demand goods. And if you never listen, say goodbye to your existence. Cause it's all about the paper mission, stay convicted. Even our favorite MCs say we ain't got a lot of kick it. Hey yo, it's getting serious, better prepare for the worst. I used to run away from the real because the truth hurts. Only the person that's aware will survive in this jungle. Better be focused and stay around the people that love you. Can we define justice? Police force sort of resemble criminals. And badges, no protection, only harassment. The innocent become guilty cause of filthy pigs pushing back your wig. And not to mention other shady practices, drug trafficking. And all of a sudden crack is back in the hood. Imagine if your local law enforcement stood on its own instead of acting as a pawn to the government's control. It's kinda bogus to see the forces of evil getting worse. American society is brought forth a curse. President a prime example isn't really fit for the position, and so it's only a matter of minutes before everybody loses faith and people open the floodgates to all-out civil war. Just take a look at the Middle East, casualties rising exponentially, suicide bombs, and citizens walk the streets bearing arms, and families back home get the message by fax or phone. Lost another loved one and not a bit of compensation. This is how we evolve in this messed up nation. Hey yo, it's getting serious, better prepare for the worst. I used to run away from the real because the truth hurts. Only the person that's aware will survive in this jungle. better be focused and stay around the people that love you. Never concerned about the next day, what's going on tomorrow, in the future, what's to follow. Difficult to determine whether or not we fall deeper into ether. Horizon above the false preachers, hypocrites giving conflicting messages, and those judgmental pointing fingers at the righteous. Critical of one's life despite all of us is speaking in similar likeness. Totally imperfect and searching for better purpose, caught up in the earth's inertia, fighting off thoughts and urges. Stimulation outside of being a wordsmith is like a curve pitch. Don't know until it gets close if I'm a knocking out the park. A swing and miss, twisting my face, frustrated disgust. I bet I fall victim to lust with such a person that I wouldn't trust. Uncontrollable, feeling like I'm getting choked and oppressed. A victim of my own flesh, failing the test, here comes stress. No matter how many times she decides to visit, it's still hard to accept. And so I got a promise of making use of my sense common, just to benefit the situation I'm in. Hey yo, it's getting serious, better prepare for the worst. I used to run away from the real because the truth hurts. Only the person that's aware will survive in this jungle. Better be focused and stay around the people that love you.
What up? This is Blitz the Ambassador. You are listening to Trigger Radio. You already know what it is. Peace.
I'm here with my man, Brother Chris and Brother Wreck on Trigger Radio. This Andre Torres and Wax Poetic, get at me.
My name is Ashanti Alston. I'm a former member of the Black Panther Party, who's a prisoner, soldier in the Black Liberation Army, and I'm happy to be on Trigger Radio and hope that you continue to carry this message in everything you do.
What it is, it's Mr. Land, Indelible DJ, chilling out with Chris and Breck, Trigger Radio, there it is, smack.
Yes, yes. What's going on, y'all? Trigger Radio in full effect. Brother Chris Cool now with you every Friday, 6 to 8. Streaming live, WMUA.org. Or you can check us out in your car, even though it's hot. It's I don't know what out there. 91.1 on your FM dial, WMUA Amherst. Thanks for tuning in. As promised, we are joined by a new friend of Trigger Radio. Feel like I've known you for a while. But we're joined by Jamila Ali Alexander, who is a healthcare provider, medical care provider, specifically working with HIV and AIDS patients since the 90s. And she's with the Bay State Mason Square Neighborhood Health Center for HIV and AIDS care. So welcome to Trigger Radio, Jamila.
Thank you, Chris. I'm glad to be here.
Yes, we're glad to have you. And it's an issue that we haven't really dealt with on our show before, in terms of some concentrated focus. We've dealt with it tangentially and marginally, and it's really our fault, but we really just, I don't know why, but I'm glad that we're in this moment now where we can talk about it, particularly as it comes on the heels of the whole healthcare and the Supreme Court ruling
right.
came out yesterday, and we can get into that a little bit later,
yep.
even though it's very complex, and I'm still wrapping my mind around a lot of the pieces of it.
Right.
In particular, looking at HIV and AIDS as a crisis right. within certain communities, particularly black and brown communities, particularly black folk, and we want to talk about that
right.
and think of some preventative measures that can be happening so we can curtail this. And But by way of beginning, maybe we can start by talking about the services that you all offer over at Bay State Mason Square, and then we can get more in detail about the actual crisis itself.
Right. Thank you. I work at a community health center. Bay State has three health centers. One is in the north end of Springfield, and it's the Brightwood Health Center. And then there's High Street Health Center in off of State Street, and we're also off State Street, a little higher up at Mason Square. And we have a whole Ryan White program. We take care of over 200 individuals with HIV or AIDS. And we're just seeing the epidemic grow. And when I started 4 years ago, we had 140, and now we're over 200. So I do feel that this is an epidemic that can be eliminated. And we now know how to do that, so I was real happy to get invited and come talk about that.
And you've been there since the 90s?
Well, I've been in Hartford doing HIV okay. care in the homeless since the 90s. I've been at Mason Square for 4 years.
So in terms of statistics, I mean, there's many reports that are out there, but one that you gave me the other day and one that's really easy to find is the fact that black African-Americans accounted for half of all new HIV diagnoses, just under half of the new AIDS diagnoses in 2009. So, I mean, that's pretty much kind of where things are. Of the total number of people living with HIV diagnoses from 2008, the statistics are 46% were black African-American, 31% white, 20% Hispanic Latino.
Right.
And then it just, you know, kind of fades out from there. Why the concentration?
Well, I want to point out how really dramatic it is in that in the state of Mass, African Americans were in 2010, 30% of the HIV cases, and they're only, let's see, in the state of Mass, only 6% of the people are African American, and then 25% are Latino. Or Latina, and that's only 8% of the total population. So it's really, it's a healthcare disparity,
mm-hmm.
really huge magnitude. Why is there's very many there's a lot of study that's gone into this, and really millions of dollars have been poured into it. And I can talk about some of the theories. Should we talk about that now?
Sure.
Okay. Some of the theories are really the fact that there's more concurrent sexual relationships in some communities. And what that means is that a person will have a relationship with one person and have, at the same time, ongoing relationships with other individuals. And that's another model of relationships is serial monogamies. So comparing those two different types of relationships, ongoing relationships like that, if one person gets HIV, then it's just going to spread way much faster. There's a network of sexual exposures in that sense. Whereas if one person gets HIV in serial monogamy, then it's just not going to go as far and as fast. And why are there more of that type of relationships in the African American community? It has to do with the really low male to female ratio, lack of marriage. People don't get married as much, or even if they do, there might be, and there's always in all, I'm not trying to make this a racial thing, I'm just looking at the statistics and what's happening and trying to explain it. And I tried to, there's disproportionate incarceration, there's a lot of racial segregation still in our communities. So and not to mention that there's a huge proportion of gays. I think the stigma that affects and racial discrimination also plays a big piece in this. Remember that there's a lot of the down low type of relationships that I would like to see stigma about HIV and the male-to-male sexual experience be much more accepted in the black community, and I just think that would go a long way towards eliminating this disparity.
And so the research suggests that in the black community there's a higher antipathy towards male-to-male sexual lifestyle and behavior.
Oh yeah, I think when you agree there's a lot of homophobia in the black community.
I do. I see it, but at the same time, I'm wondering how we can separate that from the rest of society. It's not as if the rest of society is all embracing, and the black community is just over there crazy and backwards. So there's a way in which, these communities exist within a larger society, larger communities. So I'm hesitant to just buy it wholesale. At the same time, we do recognize that there is a problem.
Right.
And then to that extent, you are beginning to see, I think, in the last couple of years, at least a few groups of folk, clergy folk, they tend to be to the left or center if they're in the clergy, who are taking up this issue, mm-hmm. United congregational kind of churches. But the right. traditional Baptists, yes, there's a very strong kind of right. hold against, accepting this right. as a reality. But again, rest of society can't be let off the hook either, because right. if it was such a safe haven in the rest of society, then people would leave their communities and find refuge elsewhere. So
I think people that does happen to some degree, that the gay community is sort of a little bit off on its own, the LGBTQ community has its own it's its own community. But I do see some inroads. Recently Obama declaring that he was supporting gay marriage, and I'm hoping that gay marriage is gonna, and yet he came out in support, but there were a lot of people that came out against him
mm-hmm.
in the black community. So it's just sort of, but I think we have to talk about these issues. And true, I hope that in the black church, or all churches, that people will be talking about this issue more in a positive light, but I'd also love to see more conversation in the churches about HIV, because that's part of the stigma.
Let's talk about in Springfield.
Okay.
The type of patients that you see, described in demographically in terms of their class background and also their race and ethnicity. How many?
Well, I work in a health center, okay. So I am going to see more patients with, a lower economic
sure.
Demographic. And we have a really good mix. We have about over a third of our patients are women, and I want to mention that black women are really mm-hmm. the ones suffering from this this problem. Everybody is, but I think that they end up being sort of unwary victims in a way. I see a lot of women that have definitely been monogamous in their relationships, and yet they end up getting infected. So the demographic is there. I'm glad you mentioned the Health Care Act, because here in Matt, I worked for 20 years in Hartford, and people did not have insurance. Here, it doesn't matter your economic background, you are able to get insurance. So I'm looking forward to the whole country having what we've had thanks to Mitt Romney.
Yeah. Well, people are afraid. I think that there's a kind of force behind it, right? That you are being forced to do this, whether you can afford it or not, and whether or not that's gonna make insurance companies lower their rates to make it more accessible is another issue.
But I want to say, in terms of HIV care, I think that having access to health care will help diminish the disparity. And I have been working here for 4 years and really have observed a great thing, that all people can get insurance. And I do think that that's going to, it's not forced, it's healthcare is a right and not a, I believe that. And so along with that right, having insurance is part of that. So I do think that's going to be a benefit for all my HIV patients, and I think people will be more likely to get in the care with this, you know, hopefully going nationwide.
The other day, and if you just tuned in, it's the Trigger Radio every Friday, 6 to 8, Chris Cool and I with Jamila Ali Alexander, talking about health care and, in particular, the HIV and AIDS epidemic crisis that has befallen this nation, as well as many other nations. And how has the United States, from a federal level, really looked at HIV? Have they been reticent in certain instances? What's your take on how the government has treated this issue, particularly since we have such alarming numbers for the black community? Because I don't want to get into a conspiracy where people are saying, well, it's a setup.
Right, right.
So talk about the government response in terms of particular communities.
Well, I do think that they've poured money into this, trying to figure out why this is happening. That's why, I mean, I'm just dealing with the results of it. Since the early 90s, what's really made the difference is the medications. Because when I started taking care of HIV patients in the early 90s, there was only AZT and DDI, and we really had very little hope. Now we have wonderful, great meds, very few side effects. If someone gets into care early, they are definitely going to have a very long life, and they're going to live very well, because we work hard with people to help them find medications that are right for that individual, where they're not having side effects and they can take them every day and really be, I say, married to their medication, because that's what it has to be. It has to be, you know, a total commitment. It's about loving yourself and really taking care of yourself. And that's what we really hope for all of our patients. And that, by the way, is one of the new data that's out, is a person that has HIV, when they're diagnosed and they get on the medications, they have a 96% diminished risk of transmitting HIV to another person, because their viral load is undetectable in the blood, and the secretions in the reproductive tract will mirror that. There's still some small amount of virus, but it's very little, and most of the time you can prevent transmission. So I guess my message I'd like to get out there, I do think the federal government might have been a little slow getting on the ball, but the drug companies are out there. They have been really working hard. Of course, they make a ton of money. But the good thing is we have really good meds compared to even 10 years ago. And we can work with people. The big thing is to get your diagnosis. If I could get a message out there, if you don't know your status, please, please get checked.
Now, has your organization contacted clergy in Springfield or major organizations in Springfield?
I have made offers to go talk in churches. Mm-hmm. I haven't had anybody take me up yet. If anyone's listening and you want me to come talk to your church, I'm really happy to do it. I do feel that's a great way to get information out. I think in a way HIV has not had the attention that it had in the early, you know, in the 80s and the 90s. I mean, it was negative attention, but at least it was out there all the time in the media. Now there's hardly an HIV soundbite. You know, you hardly hear about it anymore. And this is part of the problem, too, because people need to be thinking about it. And we do have really good care now. So I'm hoping that that's going to diminish the stigma.
And these are affordable meds, is that what you're saying?
Well, they're not affordable. If you were really going to buy them, you could buy a couple cars, nice cars, with these meds in a year. But the insurance does pay for it. We can, and there's really good programs to help with co-pays here in Massachusetts. I think Massachusetts, we have you covered. If a person is diagnosed, then we can. If you get into care, you're going to live a long time.
Mm.
You still want to get into care as quick as possible, though, because I have people that find out they have HIV and then they say, I feel fine. I'll just pretend I don't have it, and that never works because in the end, you're going to be more at risk of cancers and things because you didn't get into care when you had the chance. So I think early treatment, early diagnosis, and early acceptance of health. I always point out that if people found out they had diabetes or heart disease, they wouldn't even think about it. They'd go get on medication. And we really have to start thinking about HIV that way.
What's the correlation in terms of recent data looking at drug usage and rises in HIV and AIDS?
Well, right now, 21% of people with HIV are not diagnosed. So in the we have 27 medications now that we can use. So we have a lot of options. It's the lack of knowledge. And here's a striking statistic that they have found that a large number of people get diagnosed and they end up having AIDS, which is really a CD4 under 200, within 2 years of their diagnosis. So that means that people are waiting way too long to get tested and get their diagnosis. Because if you get your diagnosis early and you get into care, you're not going to ever get AIDS. AIDS is when your CD4 drops and we can treat people and keep them from ever having that health effect.
If you just tuned in, this is Trigger Radio. Chris Stinson cooling out with Jamila Ali Alexander, talking about HIV and AIDS and the epidemic and the crisis and preventive measures around that. The other day we were talking about incarceration, and it's well known that sex occurs in the prisons and in jails.
Right.
Yet, the officials who govern these spaces act as if it's not happening,
right,
and do nothing to promote safe sexual practice behind bars.
Right.
What's the advocacy around that?
Well,
because I don't even hear much around on that unless I'm in,
right,
you know, the very preaching to the choir kind of circles of,
right,
people who are doing prison abolition and activism around prison,
right,
and sexual abuse and things of this nature. So where is the kind of mainstream attention on that?
Well, there are Ryan White people with Ryan White funds that go into the jails and do offer HIV testing and a lot of education about HIV. I would like to see more testing when people come out. I think that's a good point that they do offer testing when folks go in,
right,
and it's offered, though it's not required, it's not mandatory. I would like to see a lot more testing in jails and out, but I feel that the risk is there, and we should do more to prevent it. Education is the one thing they do offer, though.
Yeah, I just don't trust that, considering, you know, if you put somebody away for 5 years,
mm-hmm,
we act as if their sexual appetite is not going to be there,
right,
and they have very limited options.
True.
Right, so it's either you with the guard, you with another inmate,
right,
or you are being used by another inmate.
Right.
And I mean, you know, we joke about these things, and there's comedians who,
right,
you know, make a whole lot of money joking about this, right?
Right?
But why can't we put pressure on, say, like corrections officers, unions, wardens, et cetera, people who are building the next prison? So that they can implement these things. I mean,
well,
have you
really
had conversations with law enforcement folk who work in prisons around this?
I haven't, but we have. I'm going to talk more to the people that are associated with our program that go into jails, because I'm wondering why. I don't know that condoms should be contraband in there.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something that's such a good point, and just to have them be provided would be helpful. It's an unfortunate situation.
So, for folks who are out there, how do clients find your office? I mean, do they just walk in off the street? Are you guys out in the community? How does that look?
Right.
What's that process like?
We do have free confidential HIV testing at our site. No appointment is needed. You can just walk in and ask for the health educator, and you'll get free testing. Tapestry offers a lot of testing, and they're here in this Amherst area. So a lot of our patients are referred from other providers. Right now, the Center for Disease Control recommends that all individuals get an HIV test if you don't know your status, even if you think you have no risk. It's interesting that when you look at the graphs that tell us, you know, how people got their HIV, right now, men who have sex with men, that accounts for 40% of all HIV infections. But the second largest risk category is actually no identified risk. That's the second largest category. Third is, third is illicit drug use, and then heterosexual sex is fourth. So, if you combine the two risks, they have heterosexual sex is 12%, and presumed heterosexual sex is 10%. So that would come up to 22% altogether. But no identified risk is a huge category, and that is just that, you know, many people don't know they have risk. So I'm using that to say, doesn't matter. Here's some of the myths that I've heard about HIV, if I could do this right now. The biggest myth that I hear is, that person looked good. that person looked good, so in that person's mind, the person that they've had sex with, because they look good, could not have HIV. And I just want to let everyone know, my patients are all attractive. They are very attractive people. You would never in your life know they had HIV. So you just cannot tell by looking, and that's one of the biggest myths that I hear all the time. You know, people think they don't have risk because they weren't with anybody that looked like they had HIV. Condoms really do help prevent HIV. Sometimes people get tired of condoms, and I just want to say, don't let that stop you. Use a condom. Because, first of all, I can tell you all these statistics here. I can say, oh, your risk is this, that, or the other. The thing about it is if you get HIV, it's 100% for you. So the CDC wants everyone to get tested now. And this is the reason, because most people don't know they're at risk. And the other thing I hear a lot, too, is that, oh, my partner was negative, so I'm going to be negative. And they don't even go get tested. Mm-hmm. Well, you can look at Magic Johnson. He's with Cookie, and, you know, she still doesn't have HIV, and you cannot go on that. Just because your partner is negative absolutely does not mean you're negative. Many people are together for a long time, and one's infected, the other just never gets it. But that doesn't mean, it just means get tested. It doesn't mean that you aren't at risk. It just means get tested.
What's the statistic on the number of Americans who get tested annually? Do we have those numbers?
I don't even have that. I don't know. How many people get tested?
Yes. Just straight up people either through regular physicals or through stopping by a clinic.
I don't have that data. That's a good question. But what I would say is that the fact that 21% of people that have HIV and don't know it, a lot of times people who are most at risk are the ones that are not getting tested. So either because they're afraid they have it or they're just assuming that they don't have it. So I still encourage every single person, every listener out there, please get tested, because you can really make a big difference, not just to yourself, and of course you would help yourself and give yourself much longer lifespan, but you're going to eliminate the spread of HIV. Because once you're in care and you get your viral load undetectable, it's way diminished the risk of transmission.
One of the statistics that you showed me, one of the graphs from 2006 to 2009 shows an increase amongst the age group range 13 to 24.
Right.
That's a high sexual activity.
Right.
I mean, is that the main reason?
Well,
most of those numbers are attributed to sexual transmission.
Either heterosexual or men who have sex with men. And the, unfortunately, it's the younger demographic that's really getting HIV more now. And we also see a lot more STDs in that group. So, or now we call them STIs. But that it sort of creates a doorway for HIV to come in. So if you've had, you know, we always recommend if you've had an STD, you should get checked. But even if you haven't had one, still get checked. It's just too big of a thing to ignore. You know, you get your blood sugar checked, your blood pressure checked, get your HIV test done too.
In terms of the number of people who use your clinic, how many of them are parents?
Oh, many of my patients are parents, many. And this brings up a great point. Now, they recommend that all women who are pregnant to get HIV tested. Again, it's an option, and I highly recommend it. Because now we almost can eliminate mother-to-child transmission of HIV. It's extremely important for women.
What's that process, if you could explain?
Basically, we would put the woman on HIV meds, and that does prevent transmission. It used to be 25% of transmission of mothers with HIV would transmit to their babies. Now, with these meds, usually we have no transmissions. Occasionally, you might have, it's about less than 2% transmission rate. So that's way better. So that's so important, because if we can prevent the next generation from getting HIV, that's another really important thing. And I do have young people in my practice who were born with HIV
mm-hmm.
from their parents, and we almost never see that now. We're hoping that that's going to be the last generation of young people getting born with HIV.
One of the things, one of the models or the philosophies of your organization is to use a holistic approach.
Right.
I wonder if you could explain that just briefly. You know, we got to sign off in a couple of minutes. But
well, it's the primary care model of HIV. In other words, I myself and the physicians that I work with, we do primary care also with our patients. So it's one-stop shopping in a way. You don't come to us and then we send you off to some other doctor to get your HIV care. Myself and the physicians I work with, we are credentialed as HIV care providers, and we take tests and pass tests to be in that, doing that. So we consider, we have infectious disease physicians that we can always discuss cases with if we need to. But it's a holistic model in that sense, that you get all your care in one place. And we have, of course, social workers, we have therapy we can refer to, substance abuse treatment, and we have case manager, we have we keep track of all of our data, and we have, we hope that we can, our team is a really good team. We're really open and enjoy our patients and try to make them feel comfortable. We have a diverse team of providers at Mason Square, and I feel really comfortable saying it's a great place to come and get care. If you don't know your HIV status, please get checked. That's, if I could get any message out there, that would be it. There is also medication that they're giving. We mentioned, not now, but serodiscordant couples, where one person is positive and one is negative. And I have a lot of couples in my care where that's happening. One is positive and one's negative. So with good education and the person with HIV being on medication, we still recommend condom use, but it almost never will transmit HIV in that setting. So I can give a lot of reassurance to people. It's just because the person you fall in love with has HIV does not mean that you can't have a relationship.
What do you have to say to the larger community who upholds the stigma towards those who are infected? Because I think that the issue of stigma is not just a burden that the person who's infected has to bear.
Right.
It's actually put on by a larger society, which is saying something's wrong with you, something's wrong with your lifestyle,
right,
and you know, stay as far away from me as you can.
Right.
That's where the stigma comes from. So what do you have to say to the larger community about how we treat folks who are infected or at high risk?
Well, that's a perfect example of victim blaming. You know, people with HIV, if you look at the things that they've done to get that they somehow got HIV from, many other people have done the same thing and didn't get HIV. So we cannot blame people for their behaviors. We do want to